Hello and welcome to another awesome edition of the Mac Show. Yes, we're here again after MacStock and after everything that happened last week. We're back and I'm your interim host, interim host, I should say, because the interim host is out sick after MacStock, or probably more likely after traveling, because, you know, airports and stuff. It's probably not MacStock's fault. It's probably more the airport.
Yes.
The crowd
is real.
Mm-hmm. So I hope he has a sick note. We already established yesterday that it wouldn't matter because this is America. So your pay of nothing is deducted anyway, just because we can. So sorry, Jeff. You're not getting paid any more or less because of this. So maybe that's a good thing. With me, I have a really cool panel, as always, and I'm going to start top of me, basically, on our stream, and say hi to the man with the awesome shirts, as always. Hey, Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm good.
I love the color. Okay. What can I say?
Thank you. That's the first time I've ever been introduced as the man with the awesome shirts.
You always have really cool shirts and really cool colors.
I'll take it. Yeah, it's I like bright.
Yes. Life is too boring anyway to not wear bright colors or something like that.
Sounds good to me.
Something like that, at least. How are things? I mean, you were at MacStock last week, so I'm guessing you had a really, really cool time.
I had a great time. A serious loss of sleep, but other than that, it was just phenomenal.
Trying to explain
MacStock. Well, yeah, that was sort of the theory for the weekend, and then it came back to haunt me later.
Yeah, that's usually how that goes.
Yeah, it's hard to explain why MacStock is so much fun, except to say probably the number one thing is the people. You know, I mean, there were great presentations. I came home with a ton of notes and at least half a year's worth of stuff for me to try or explore. But it's just getting to hang out with some really great people, not just the people you know and have counted as friends for years, but also brand new people that you have not met yet. And you right away have something in common with it. It just top to bottom. I mean, from the moment you walk in to the moment you leave. And I think I gave and got more hugs by far than handshakes. You know, it's just that's just the kind of environment that Mike Potter has fostered. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been, folks, you know, mark your calendar. The dates aren't set yet, but mark your calendar for next July and start saving up now because it'll be a lot of fun.
Just take July off, I would say. Just do that.
Well, that's good advice. I don't know if it's realistic, but it's good advice.
Well, in Europe, it would not be a problem. In the US, it might be, but it's like, oh, let's take 6 weeks off. Why not?
Yeah, and I'll tell my employer, I'm going to MacStock, and they'll say, what?
Yeah, I saw that there was karaoke and some other shenanigans going on. I didn't see whether you were singing, so.
No, I did not sing. I was encouraged and was able to resist the demands.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I just don't like singing, so people have told me I can sing quite well, but I just don't like doing it. So,
I sound awesome in the shower when I'm alone.
Yeah, see, that's good. Yeah, that's the best place, I would say. And speaking of a really, really cool place, Ben, you're in outer space, at least according to your background.
Yes. And I have to say, I completely disagree on the color thing. Back in black, bitches.
Black is not even a color. You know, black is a statement. So how are you doing?
I am fantastic. I am sitting here with my familiar doing my favorite podcast on Fridays.
On a Friday. Yeah, you're kind of like, I don't know, like... Pick any like animated like show villain like Shredder from what was that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think.
Yep.
Or like, I mean, you're sitting there like in black with your cat, like all of that. So What can we expect?
I wish I was Shredder. That'd be awesome.
What's next? You're gonna take over the world, right? That's usually what happens, or what they try at least.
Yes. I'll get Pinky in the Brain as my accountants.
Oh, there's an idea. Anyway, if you're wondering what we're going to talk about today, since it's July and, well, there's not really anything happening in Apple's news area, at least not recently. I don't remember anything happening the last, like, 2 weeks. I mean, there are betas and whatnot, but it's the summer. Like, people are outside and not thinking about news. So what are we doing today? We're doing the BTN Summer of Fun. As we always do every year.
Shots.
We're doing shots. Yeah. Okay. I'm okay. I'll get some. That's not a problem. I mean, it's past 5 here, so you can drink because it's past 5 on the show. Where it's hosted, it's past 5, so it counts. Like, it doesn't matter. So now we're doing the Summer of Fun, of course. We kicked it off yesterday with a really, really cool episode about our favorite like radio plays and audiobooks. And it was super interesting with Ian, our resident Brit, basically, on the American Tech Network. And it was a good show. Ben was there as well. Tom was there. We had some really cool books and radio plays and so on from modern times and from the old days. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, it's on our website or in your podcast player. But today we have a fun little game that we're going to play. I don't know how we're going to do this. As I said in the pre-show, it's probably going to be hard to do math, like live on air. But we're going to talk about how much money we have spent in our lifetimes on Apple, like, gear. Hardware. Yes. Any of that software, whatever you bought from Apple. So that's going to be interesting.
Yes. Thank you, Every Mac, for actually having the prices.
Oh, I didn't even go that far. I would just probably just eyeball it and say, whatever. That Mac cost about $50,000 and come up with some ridiculous number. I have a feeling, I don't know, Chuck. I have a feeling you've been in the like Apple community the longest out of all of us.
If that's a nice way of saying you're old.
No, not necessarily.
That's probably accurate.
No, different people come into the community at different ages. So I don't think that's an indication. I just have it just feels like you've been with us for so long. Like longer than me, probably.
Experienced.
Yes.
Yeah, I would probably agree with it. My first Apple product was an Apple IIe.
Okay, that's definitely way longer than I think any of us. I don't know Ben, but I definitely.
Yeah, Ben, what was your first?
Yeah, maybe let's start with that.
Oh, you're muted, Ben.
Well, I have two answers here.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. There you are.
The first I had to use was a PowerBook 165. Black and white.
Mm-hmm.
However, that was owned by the Dubuque Community School District. The first one my family owned was a Performa 5200 CD that we bought in 1995, biting me, Leo, from Walmart.
Okay, I think, Chuck, you got us beat, because mine was a 2007 MacBook Pro, so... That's how much.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, that also means I think we're spanning 3 decades, right? I mean, the 2E was, I think, still somewhere in the 80s. The Performa we just established in the 90s. And I'm in the mid-2000s. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, as far as dollar, you know, dollar numbers are going to be impossible to figure because...
Let's try.
No. I don't even want to know.
Because, yeah, but that's so fun. Like, we want to know.
But, yeah. No, I'll start crying on air. But, you know, that was one of the things when this topic was suggested. I thought, you know, there are a lot of ways you could look at it. You could look at it as how much money you've spent, or you could look at it as... A couple ways, how much fun you've had with it, assuming you've had fun. And if you're listening to this, the odds are that you're a tech person and an Apple person and you have had fun with it. But also, looking back, it was never intended as such, but it was an investment in staying current, staying ahead, getting ahead, you know, that's the way it turned out. I'd love to tell you that I really planned that, but it didn't happen that way. But I would not, there's so many different turning points in my life that if I had not been a tech person and very specifically an Apple person, that I would have gone down another path. And, you know, you never know which path is best, but
yes,
the path I've ended up on has not been anything to seriously complain about. And it was because of all the Apple tech over the years.
Yeah, it's, I mean, investment, probably not in a traditional sense. Like, I mean, you're not going to get the money back from your Mac, like not at least by just selling it. But you're right, in a like more, I don't know how to call it, like a more abstract sense. I mean, what you get out of it, the productivity, the work you do, all of that. That's definitely a better investment.
Well, and just thinking back to a time when computers were not on everyone's desk and when they started arriving on people's desks and they were afraid of them. And I went through that period where I saw people retire early or just change jobs because they wouldn't interact with the technology. And usually it was just out of fear. No matter how much you told them, no matter how much you showed them that they couldn't break anything, that they just were terrified of it. And that's, looking back again, and I'm sure you two shared this, that's not something I ever understood, because the technology, it might be intimidating, but it was never scary. It just made you want to get your hands on it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the strengths of Apple, like that you're like, they never scare you. Like, I mean, a technology in itself is a little bit scary sometimes, especially when it's new and you don't understand it yet. Like anything new that is not like, okay, this is the next iteration of something I've used before. I mean, if you bought a MacBook Pro, the next MacBook Pro is probably not gonna feel that scary because it's more or less gonna be the same, right? But anything new that you jump in is, it's like, oh, you're jumping into the iPhone or the Vision Pro now or like whatever. It always feels a little bit scary. But the thing with Apple is they try to make it as like safe or feeling safe as it can be for something that's that new. It's kind of like, oh yeah, Apple got me. Like it's gonna be okay. Right? So Ben, like, have you done the math? Like how much like you've invested? I'm still tallying it up. So the number is going to be big.
I can do it shorthand because I actually still remember all the pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do it this way: for Performa 5200, $19.99. Power Mac G3. $21.99. iBook G3 900 megahertz, IceBook $12.99. iMac, iMac Intel Core 2 Duo $14.99. MacBook Pro Retina, $17.99. I bought that from the refurbished store, so I got a couple hundred dollar discount. And then it was $8.99 for my Mac Mini, and $19.99 again for my current M1 Pro MacBook Pro, my baby. Okay, let's go on to iPhones. iPhone 3GS.
See there, I don't remember what they cost, to be honest.
Yeah,
I put up all the
yeah,
iPhones I've owned and I'm like, I vaguely remember paying for it, but I don't remember what they actually cost.
yeah. Yeah, because it was all hat. I'll say with this, especially in the United States here, these phones were all wrapped up in contracts.
Same in
So you
Europe.
don't know yet, because for, I'll just give the list. iPhone 3GS, iPhone 5, iPhone 5S, iPhone 6 Plus, iPhone 7 Plus, iPhone 10, iPhone 12 Pro Max, iPhone 15 Pro Max.
Yeah, it's like 15 Pro Max. I'm just doing the math on my side. So I started with the black MacBook, and I think and all of these prices are euros now because I would have to do the conversion. So I don't know exactly, but it comes out at at the black MacBook. I had a 2010 MacBook Pro and an iMac that I also bought in 2010. Then the 12, 15, 18, and then in 2022, I got the M1 that I have currently. So that adds up to about 18,000 euros over, what is that, 15 years. It's not that
Yeah,
bad,
I
actually.
mean, yeah,
And I
same
sold a
for.
bunch of them. So, like, I mean, it's not like a ton of them I sold after a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, same here after 29.
And that's part of the problem for me is trying. I mean, first of all, I feel like obviously I have a longer time span than you two, but also, yes, there was always give and take, trading up, selling. So I wouldn't even know where to begin because at times I had multiples.
That's why
Yeah, plus.
I didn't factor that in because I'm like, that's the money I paid Apple or someone else if I ordered it somewhere else, but I think I usually ordered from Apple directly. So that's the factor I take. Like what I sold then and someone else whatever got or paid for, like I don't care. Just
Yeah,
like how
and
much
that
of
and
the 3 trillion that Apple is worth, I contributed to basically directly at least. And not even factoring
and
apps and all of the other crap, so
yeah, and that's the thing with you being younger than us. Up until I'd say fairly recently, a lot of my history buying a Mac directly from Apple was just not an option. They literally did not have that until they bought Power Computing's e-commerce people. When all the cl at the end of the Clone Wars.
That sounds like a Star Wars thing.
Yeah, so Macs used to get bought out of catalogs. I said catalogs, not
Yeah,
cats, Leo.
that's so far before my time. Like, I mean, I do not remember because so that's I mean one of the interesting things maybe here in Europe, especially in Germany, Apple wasn't I mean it's not that Apple wasn't known at all and Apple didn't sell like stuff. It just wasn't very present, like in schools or like wherever, like nobody even talked about them. I didn't know anybody who had an iPod, for example. So I only became aware like around 2004 or 5 that Apple even existed. So I'd never even heard of the company before. So I don't remember a time when there wasn't at least online store. Like you literally could go to a website and order it, and that's how I remember it, like always being. And it's crazy to hear it from you that like, oh, there was a catalog. I'm like, yeah, okay, that
Yeah,
makes sense, but I never considered that.
my El Capitan G3 was bought from Mac Discount Warehouse.
That's crazy.
Wait, and that brings back some fond memories of the catalogs, Ben, that I haven't accessed those memories in a long time. Holy
So
cow, I'm
for
old.
for the kids out there who don't remember what catalogs even are and how that worked, can you explain it?
Okay, there used to be this stuff called paper.
Wow. like this here.
Yes, these things called printers printed to them. And there were these giant booklets of things you could buy that were called catalogs. And to do that, since there was no internet, you picked up a thing called a phone. And you called this person and said, okay, I will give you my credit card number, or I'll submit my financing, because a lot of these places did in-house financing for your computer, so I can get my new Mac. Then you cut them a thing called a check.
What's that?
It was a piece of paper that you could promise people money on.
An IOU. From a bank.
More official.
Official, yes. IOU from basically a bank.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember catalogs being a thing, but I don't remember ever buying anything computer related from a catalog.
Yeah, there was one. I think it was Mac Warehouse. Somebody please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, but Mac Warehouse is I was mixing Mac Warehouse up with Computer Discount Warehouse.
Yeah, well, but they always had, and they had the cute little sayings. It was just, I guess, marketing. But you know, they'd have a dog with a headset on, and say, you know, on the internet, no one knows you're a dog, and you know, all kind of, you know. More, I guess, more sort of the 60s mentality appeal kind of things, and taking nothing away from it. It's just, you know, it was that sort of more idealistic crowd and idealistic approach to things at that point.
Yeah. I mean, those days you had, slogans were a big thing. You had power computing and fighting back for the Mac. I mean, you had to basically distinguish yourself and your business. I mean, honestly, half the pages in Macworld those days were ads for Mac retailers.
True. And that's this is off topic, but it's on topic. But Macworld, Mac user. From the UK, Mac for Mac, a little bit later, Mac Addict.
Yeah.
You know, all those magazines were things that you got every month, and you would create an archive of them, because they were your buying reference guides. They were your knowledge bases. You know, I remember having several of those, you know, the fiberboard bookcases that would eventually sag under the weight of the magazines.
That's so true.
And the ads were, look, the ads always attracted you, but they were also the things that informed you about the capabilities that your machines could have, whether we're talking about the Apple or the early Macs.
Oh, and also the ads for like software and stuff and other things that inform you, like what's even out there, like what's available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you didn't just subscribe to one of these magazines. In fact, it cost my parents a lot less when Macworld and Mac User eventually merged, but
That depends on like how much money you had available, so how many you could subscribe to.
Yeah, but it's just like I literally had subscriptions as a teenager to all of them, because you cannot. You're not cross-referencing things when you have a 28K modem.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, my dad, we only had one, as far as I remember, only one subscription in the house. It's a German magazine called Chip. I think it still exists to this day, but I think it's online only. I don't know. Maybe it's online only. Maybe they still do it.
Yeah.
But
really? I thought it'd be like Das Macken.
No, it was, there were, I said I was not aware of Apple at all. So I don't know. Maybe there were magazines for like Apple fans. I just didn't know about them. That was a PC magazine, Chip. They had some like in the mid late 2000s, they started adding, as Apple became more popular on the iPhone and so on, they started adding some like Apple specific things. And these days they even have like their own, they had for a little while their own online magazine called Mac and I, which was quite fun. And I think they just, like, nowadays it's just all one website. There's like everything on one. It's kind of like The Verge, but the German equivalent of it.
Yeah. And I mean, back in the day, the platform wars even went to the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Because the PC magazines would not touch the Mac.
Yeah.
The Mac magazines were very anti-PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just literally, I mean, even in schools, you had the Mac versus PC crowd. That actually almost started some fights in junior high.
For you, it didn't for me. So on the iPhone front, I just listed all the iPhones. I don't think I forgot anything. So I had the original iPhone, I had the 3GS, the 4S, the 5S, the 7. Then I switched to the 10, the 10S, and then from 11 onwards, I had basically everything. So 11 Pro Max, 12 Pro Max, 13 Pro Max, 14 Pro Max, and 15 Pro Max. That totals up to estimate, because I don't remember all of the prices.
$1 million.
No, it's about 11,000 euros. So that would be about, well, it's probably like 12 to 13,000 euros, dollars. Something like that. Maybe 12.
Yeah.
So, a lot of money. Over the years. But I mean, it's also interesting, like I was thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, like from the 10 onwards, basically I had everything. Because I upgrade every year.
Yeah.
And we don't have the upgrade program. Like I had it for like a year, I think, in the US, but we don't have that here. And I buy outright. I mean, that's one of the differences. Like until I think the 7 was still on contract, and then, I think it was the 4S was the last one I did on contract, and then from then on, like, you could buy outright, and I always do. It's just easier that way.
Yeah. Yeah, we, one of the biggest changes here is when things became more transparent, and you had the device payment plans mm-hmm. rather than the contracts.
Yeah.
Because the contracts, you were paying that price whether you had a new phone or not.
That's true. If you didn't upgrade at the end, it would just, nothing would happen. You would just keep paying the same price.
Yeah.
Like.
And that made moving carriers a hell of a lot easier here in the States. Mm-hmm. And getting a better deal. Because, I mean, like with my current phone, one of the reasons I got it, I got $800 trade-in, including a lot of that up front. I still have to have it for 24 months. Oh, well. But I'm paying $11 a month for an iPhone 15 Pro Max.
That is crazy cheap.
Yeah. I mean, it basically, my 12 Pro Max paid for this, mm-hmm. 75% of this one.
Yeah. That works. Now, when it comes to iPad, actually, no, I want to ask Chuck, like which phone, do you remember which phones you have, like, if I had iPhones? And with Macs, same question.
Macs.
Macs or other Apple devices, we should say. Like. Apple my first computers.
Was, oh, good Lord. I mean, I had the 2E, I had the 2GS. Never did any of the performas. And on the Macs, I started with a Mac Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And then, strange as this sounds, got my second Mac was an SE, which was sort of an overlap. It wasn't a step down. It was mm-hmm. just an additional Mac. Which actually I took to the office at that point, because I was already starting to find that I could do more things even if I provided my own machine, as opposed to, you know, back then it was either no machines or shared machines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just brought my own, because I was just so heavily into it at that stage and what it could do. Boy, beyond that, I mean, I start to completely lose track. You know, I've had a bunch of the laptops.
Mm-hmm.
I've had iMacs. I had the I think I'm pretty sure I had the first, yeah, I know I did. I had the first laptop, the first PowerBook. I did not have the Mac portable, the thing that looked like a sewing machine. I did not own that. That was too much.
was too much.
But you'll love this. I do recall I did have for traveling home on weekends, I had a case for my Apple II.
You
And
had one of those carrying cases?
I had a
Wow.
carrying case for the Apple II
Wow.
because, that's just the way it was. That was your option, and the Mac Portable was completely out of the price range. And it didn't, and the capabilities were very limited.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I could tell you I if you laid them all out in front of me, I could probably, eventually go through and figure it out.
Yeah, figure out
But
which ones you had, yeah.
yeah, and skipping over to the iPhones, I mean, I've had every iteration. I think there was one year that I decided to skip because the difference was not significant enough for me. But I had the first iPhone and just kept on going because
Let
I
me
was
guess, that was
ready.
the
I
eight.
the eight
Yeah, that you skipped.
could be.
Yeah, I
I'm not
think wasn't that the year
sure.
when they came out with the 10? So you skip eight and go to 10.
But and
We all
iPads,
skipped the nine.
Well, we skipped nine as well. It's true.
iPads, I haven't done the upgrades nearly as regularly because the
Yeah,
feature
same.
sets
Yeah.
have not, like the touch sensitivity for the pencil really doesn't apply for me. So I'm probably looking at my first main iPad upgrade in quite some time. But right now I have a third gen 12 Mac iPad Pro 12 inch and one of the current minis. So
Patrice, I have
yes.
some breaking news. I have a picture of Chuck's first iPhone.
Okay. Uh-oh. So for the people listening, Ben put like really fancy old-timey like
Rotary
phone
dial.
rotary dial phone, like with the hook and everything. Wow. But
Yeah,
actually that's
Ben,
not that's quite modern already. Like it's not the one at the where you have to
that
crank.
came with a powdered wig, Ben. Thank you very
Yes,
much.
but it's not the ones where you have like it's attached to the one you have to crank first,
Jeez.
so it's not that old. Yeah, I was thinking iPads. I got originally the iPad 2 because the f by the time I was kind of not sure about the iPad originally, and then I went, I think to I was in London. I went to the Apple Store and I tried it out, and I was like, okay, blew me away. I was like, okay, I have to buy it. But at that point, it was so close to the next one that I was like, okay, I'll just wait. So I got the iPad 2, and I had the Air, and then from then I think I switched to the Pros. I did the 2015 and 2018 Pros, and then, yeah, whenever that was, 2 years ago I think. I switched to the M1 iPad Air. And I'm honestly not sure I'll upgrade ever again. We'll see. Not planning on. It's just not, I don't see the value in it.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's for me right now, it's a fancy TV and with the Vision Pro, which is, I mean, admittedly, way more expensive than an iPad, especially an Air. I just don't see why I would upgrade. Like I can do everything. The few things that I do with the iPad, I can do with the Vision Pro easier.
I mean, you'll notice that there is one. That is the Apple device conspicuously li missing from my list. I had an iPad Air 4. It's now my mom's because I didn't use it. It's iPad is just something that's not in my workflow.
And it's different for different people, so I'm not saying it's a bad device. It's just for me. I mean, I put like last year, when the Vision Pro was announced, I put out that prediction that like in 5 to 10 years from them, so it's 4 to 9 years now, we will probably not see iPads anymore. And I think the reason is that eventually the Vision Pro is going to take over, or at least not in any sense that you would think about today. Like, they might still be around for sure, but maybe for drawing or whatever, but I think nobody will really consider them useful anymore.
Yeah, and I think a big reason for that is, I mean, other than artists, I don't think even Apple quite knows still what the iPad is.
Yes. It's a computer, don't you know?
Yeah. But it, yeah, but it's kind of like stuck in that no man's land between phone and PC.
Yeah. But as I said, I talked about that last year at length, and I said, like, I think at some point Apple realized that Vision Pro and the Vision system is the future, and the iPad would probably be the first casualty on that. Which they're totally fine with, because more expensive, so it's not a problem.
Not sure I completely agree with that, because I see the iPad as just an extension of my ability to do work wherever, whenever, however I choose, especially if I am using systems like, I'll take, for example, Apple Notes, just a real simple example that everybody has, okay? Mm-hmm. I can add things or work in Apple Notes on my phone, on my iPads, on my Macs, desktop and laptop, and it all syncs together. And everything is always there when I want it. And so, and there are places I would take an iPad that I would not take a laptop. There are places I would take a phone that I would not take an iPad. So it just feels like it's a bit, as thin as the laptops are, and as much as I'd love how thin and powerful the laptops are, there's still a place, sorry about that, there's still a place for the iPad. I think that it just feels, I don't know, it feels like a different thing. It feels like a different thing, and it's a single, I mean, look, everybody wants the Mac OS on the iPad. Part of the charm of the iPad is that it's a single use device, because it opens one app at a time. Yeah, you can dance back and forth between two, but you can't have 25 open like I can on my Mac, which is definitely an advantage at times, definitely a disadvantage at other times.
For sure. I'm not saying it's not useful. I'm not saying it's not useful today. And I'm not even saying it doesn't have a place in the lineup currently. But I see that shifting significantly over the next decade, basically, towards Vision, towards anything like it, simply. Because it's just very obvious that, I mean, even that all the iPad apps are running, like, on, or almost all of them are running on the Vision Pro. It's just, I think it's the logical next step. It's nothing against the iPad. It's just eventually people move on.
Patrice, as long as the only thing right now about the current Vision Pro is obviously it's big and bulky. It's got to get down to the point
Give it 10 years. That's why I'm not saying it's happening today. It's 10 years.
If you're saying 10 years, I think there's a real good chance.
Yeah. It's definitely not happening now. Like, that's gonna take a while, and that's why I'm saying like 5 to 10 years at least. Like, it's gonna take time, but I think, as I said, it's just a feeling. Like, given we've talked about this on the show and on other shows, like we have a feeling that Apple's not really investing all that much in the software of the iPad, and the hardware is, I mean, there is some nice improvements, but it's also not like crazy. It's like, okay, it's the same thing they're doing with the iPhone, and it's the same thing they're doing with the Mac sometimes, plus some little extra things. It's, I mean, nothing like really cool things, like with what they did with the Pencil, but you said it, like, it's not super important to you, and that's my feeling, that they're like, they know that this is going to happen eventually. They're going to invest in it as to make it viable until we reach that future. But I think it's also clear that they know that this is not a long-term thing that's going to stick around.
Yeah, and the other thing the iPad does, it's the technology in there. It spreads out the development costs between the iPad and the Mac.
True. I mean, and the iPhone to some extent as well. I mean, they share a lot. The iPhone shares a lot of chips with the iPhone to some extent, and the Mac as well. I mean, they're streamlining it, and you see that. You're right. That does make a difference.
Yeah, because you can guarantee that dual-layer OLED screen that was just released in the iPad Pro is going to show up in the MacBook Pro sooner rather than later.
Yeah, eventually, yes. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not dismissive on the iPad. I loved my iPad for the longest time, and I kind of was sad that a lot of people didn't. But as I said, I think the writing is on the wall.
Mm-hmm. But I think it was Ben that said it, or maybe you did, Patrice, I don't know. But the idea that that's just not the device for you, that's fine.
It's totally okay.
You know, it is. It's like applications. It's like so many things. If it's not right for you, if it's not something that applies to you, then that's fine. I mean, if you handed me an app that, you know, was a gardening app, it's like, oh, I have no use for that.
I can recommend some.
Yeah, so you say, I have no use for that.
Yeah. No.
But if you bring me a video app, okay, now I'm interested. But most of the listeners and viewers would not be, because that's not something they do.
Yeah.
That's sort of the magic of these machines.
100%.
They can become pretty much whatever you want.
100%. And I mean, that is kind of my point. Like, it is useful for some people. I know some. I mean, Jeff, for example, he's drawing like sometimes with it and using it a lot and taking notes. I know plenty of people who use them, whatever, in school or whatever, or like artists that are drawing things or working on things. Like, there's a million things you can do with your iPad. I'm just, for me, I just see the thing that the iPad does well, minus maybe the drawing. The vision system, let's call it, will eventually take over, because it's kind of an easy one to take. The iPhone is harder in a sense, because I think also because we're so glued to it, and I think it's going to be harder to replace that. But the iPad is already not super popular in comparison to other devices that Apple has. Not saying it's not popular, it's just not as popular. So it's an easy target as a first target to cannibalize some people.
So long, I wish time Jeff frame. Were here.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish Jeff were here, because this crosses over into something else. And if I sound like I'm defending the iPad, I'm not. That's not it. Okay. But and take this also as someone who
has I can tell you one thing. When we talked about this last year, Jeff agreed with me. So,
okay, but I'm wondering, and take this as from someone who is not has done a Vision Pro demo and spent a little bit of time with the friends, but not anything. But this goes back to a discussion Jeff and I had on a different show about the physical interface with an iPad and the ability Jeff's ability, not mine, to use it as an artistic device or as a creative device that way. And I'm not sure you're going to have that with even the future version of.
We don't know. I mean, the reality is we don't know. We don't know what we'll come up with and how art will change. I'm 100% with you. Well, not 100%. There's also a way that you could do even drawing and like the stuff you do with an iPad right now with the Vision Pro and the Vision. Let's call it a Vision device, whatever it is, in the future. I could see that happening, but I'm also with you. That's the one little area where I'm like, that might be harder. And I mean, just like as we still to this day have Wacom tablets that you can connect to your Mac and do things with it, maybe the iPad sticks around for that. Maybe not. Like, we'll see. But I think, as I said, a lot of the other things, especially the content consumption, the whatever you're using, I mean, reading books and so on, I think that is an easy one. To switch over, and that doesn't require a lot, to be honest. Like, you can open a window and have a book. Like, you can do that in a Vision Pro as well today.
And it depends. Yeah, it depends on what you're doing too. I mean, look, how many do both of you have Stream Decks?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
I do.
That's exactly my point. So depending on what you're doing, you know, that additional control surface, and an iPad can be that control surface as well.
It's true.
If you load a bunch of shortcuts on it. So there's potential, and there's potentially always that need for that extra thing. And so whether it's an iPad or something else that they call it by then or whatever, the evolution is going to be fascinating to watch,
Yes, it will
because
be.
it's clear that everyone wants that kind of Star Trek experience. We're still fighting over the Star Trek experience of being able to talk to our smart
It's
assistants and have
true.
them understand.
Well,
So
they
computer,
understand
hello,
it
computer.
as correctly.
Yeah.
They listen, they just don't
Yeah.
understand. It's kind of like kids. They listen, they don't understand. Don't want to understand, maybe. I don't know.
Yes. I
Comment
understand,
on.
Captain Kirk. Firing photon torpedoes at Klingons. No, I said I wanted a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, exactly, Ben. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But you know who understands us really, really well? That is
ESO host.
TSO
ESO host.
host. You got it, you got it. So we have a really cool, I have to move on, like, as much as this discussion is really interesting. Yeah, we have a really cool sponsor today, and I basically every show in the last couple of years, and that is TSO Host, our friendly hosting company from the UK. Really awesome people. I've talked to a couple of them here and there when we needed something. They sponsor two really awesome servers for us that run the live stream, that run our website, and some other things in the background. And it's, yeah, they're just rock solid. We've never had any problems with the servers, downtimes, or whatever. The only downtime we ever had, other than the actually server downtime, was when the system couldn't handle the £0 invoice that we didn't pay. So that was hilarious. Reached out to them. They were like, "What the hell?" And then just fixed it very quickly, so that wasn't a problem. That's not a normal use case, like that you have a £0 invoice. So I guess that was. I hope that got fixed now. We'll see you next time. But other than that, it's always been if the website was down, it was usually my fault. I messed something up, something broke, whatever. It was never them. So that's how solid they are. I've seen them also like do offering really great support and like on social media and on live chats and email and so on. So I've seen some listeners that needed a little bit more help, and they were really helpful and really good. They offer domain names. They offer hosting packages. Like, I don't know, you need a WordPress site to host your next podcast, for example, stuff like that. Servers for sure, email accounts, like whatever you need. They're a really good company, small company in the UK. So it's also sometimes good to like support smaller local companies instead of the big Amazons and Microsofts and so on of the world. And yeah, it's just a good company. And all they want for their support of British Tech Network, or their ongoing support of British Tech Network, is that you head out to your favorite social media, whatever that is these days. There's millions of options. And just mention them and say, "Hey, thank you, TSO Host, for supporting the British Tech Network, and thank you for just being an awesome company." That's all they want. And the best thing is, if you have a need for a domain name, a website, whatever it is, they have an offer code for you, and that is BTN20 for 20% off. BTN20 for 20% off anything you want to buy from them. And speaking of stuff that we have on our website and that we host on our servers, Ben, can you explain to the people where they can find our live chat for the live stream that we're running on right now?
The great news is this just got all way easier.
That's true.
So, let's just say you want to see this chat right now as we're speaking. You know, this is Spaceballs instant video here.
It is, yes.
Yes. So you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com and the chat is now right there. There's
Right
no
there.
searching for your IRC client. There's no going to chat.britishnetwork.com. There is just live.britishtechnetwork.com and you get the current chat. Let's just say, oh man, I wanted to know something about yesterday's big show. And what was put in the chat there, like the links to the cool things or the link to TSO host and their offer code, which is in there. Well, you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there's a chat archive. And that chat archive is current to the second.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So the stuff I just put in, which was tsohost.com and the offer code BTN20, that's in there right now from today.
Very cool. Thank you, Ben. That's very kind of you to explain that so well to us. And yes, I think we have a couple minutes for some cool things. So, Chuck, you want to start us off?
Sure. I will start us off with the thing that is not new, and I'm reconsidering using it based on presentations from MacStock last week. So I took advantage of Amazon Prime Days and ordered a new Apple Pencil for my iPad,
Oh,
a
I
trade
should have
my
done
iPad.
that. I should have done that. Mine is my Apple Pencil that I never use is broken. So.
Some of the presentations, there were discussions about it. One of the things Jeff pointed out is it can be used as a control surface, which is not exactly a way I'd thought about the iPad or using the Apple Pencil. So I'm going to see if I can get it back into my workflow. I've had one in the past. I gave it away. I've had one of the cheaper, much less functional pencils, and that just didn't do it. So I'm going to see if I can get back into the Apple Pencil. But right now they're still a pretty good price. I'm saving a little bit of money on Amazon through the link I sent. So I would encourage you carefully think about it, but stop thinking about it just as a tool for graphic people, and start thinking about it maybe as something that you can edit with, or annotate with. And that's kind of kicking me over the edge to saying I'm going to invest in it again. And I put it into the wrong chat, didn't I? That
Yeah,
was
it's fine.
great. Sorry. Sorry
Ben
about that. I'll
already put it
drop it
in.
in.
Thank you.
Oh,
Okay,
okay.
now you put it in
Thanks,
then.
Ben. Sorry.
Thank you.
So there you go. It's I will let you know in a few weeks whether my experiment has worked.
Very nice. Yeah, that's the one thing. I have an iPad and the pencil, I think maybe I should just take it to Apple and say, like, can you fix it? But they would probably tell me just buy a new one. I think I dropped it and it broke or something. So, but I'm like, I never use it. So, should I really invest the money? But Prime Day would have been a good idea. Should have thought of that. So, cool. Very good. Ben, you have something really cool for us as well.
Yes, I struggled whether I was going to pick this, not because I don't
Yes.
like the show,
Oh, yes.
but because right now, if you have a cable subscription, you can stream it on any of NBC Universal's app. However, as of the last time I checked during the show, it is not available yet to Peacock subscribers.
Oh, that sucks.
But yeah, I'm hoping the delay is relatively short because I really want to watch the season two premiere of The Ark. This show is not going to win any awards for its visual effects. It's very low budget. It
Yes.
starts, yes, but there's just something about this show and its characters that grips you.
By the way,
You keep.
it's telling me it's on USA or Fubo if you want to stream it.
Yes. But yeah. But, I mean, what was I saying?
Yeah, sorry, I
Yeah,
interrupted you.
a. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's
So.
definitely it's as you said, like it's not super high budget and like special effects and all of that. Yes, it kind of feels like Babylon 5 in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. The act or the dialogue is not always the best.
No. It's just fun.
But yeah, it's exactly. It's just fun.
Yeah. It's just one of those shows where you're like, I understand this isn't the best. I understand it's not the best writing, but everybody is trying really hard. I mean, this is also the first season. We should mention, you know, first seasons are like always a little bit all over the place. But it's kind of like you just connect with the people and with the story, and you're kind of like, it kind of has this special spot in your heart where you're like, I just really like it. I don't know why, but I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a love letter to 90s syndicated sci-fi.
Ah, oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. 100%. That's what it is. It is.
That is well said, Ben. And yes. I would never have put it in those terms,
but that
describes it perfectly.
Yeah. It's a really, I really, when I saw the trailer for the show, I was like, I have to watch it. I watched the first season, got really excited, was kind of fearing that they would cancel it. I'm very happy to hear that there's a second season, so I'm going to like make sure that I watch that like right away.
Yeah.
I mean, ratings on IMDb, not great, 5.4. but I think on Rotten Tomatoes it's 72%, so it's actually not bad.
Yeah.
But you know, IMDb ratings are a thing.
They're subjective.
The story itself, where it's like they like people wake up on a ship, and something happened, like it broke basically, and they don't know what's going on, and people are dying and all of that, and then like over time, they figure out like there's tons of mysteries and they're going somewhere. And like they had to leave Earth because of some, because of climate change and some like failed attempts to fix that.
Yeah. Yeah. And instead of all the big important people were killed off in literally the first scene of the show.
It's true. Yeah. The big important people on the ship, like it's kind of the Lower Decks crew that's left over.
Yeah. Yeah. You have three junior officers. Who
don't even have access to anything. Like, that's the thing. They don't even have the credentials to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, but since they're all basically the same rank.
Mm-hmm. And
they don't even know who's in command.
It's true. Yeah, so that's there's so much to like about it. And over time, over the first season, you learned a little bit more about like what's really going on, what's happening, where are they going, and there's way more to this story than like meets the eye initially. So I'm very happy that there's a second season.
Yes. Now NBC Universal, get it on Peacock so I can watch it.
Yes. That would make sense.
Like not tomorrow. Yesterday. I want it right now. Now
hit the button. Very cool.
There's this little thing that called the Olympics that they're a bit preoccupied with.
There's some people that don't care about the Olympics, so they can work on this.
Ooh, wow. Oh man, Patrice, that's dangerous. You're gonna get hate mail.
I know. I know. I don't care. So my cool thing is this little thing here. So this is the Vision Pro battery. So that was one of the, that's one of the things that in all the ads or whatever that Apple did, all the videos, you never see the battery. Like never, they never show it. And they know why. Because that's a little bit the most annoying part of this is kind of this battery. I understand it makes sense. I didn't want to, like it is heavy, so I don't want that on my head somewhere. But like, if you don't have, whatever, I mean, you know, women don't, I mean, might not have pockets at all, or the pockets are really tiny. Like, where do you put this? Mm-hmm. I mean, I could put it in, like, here, up here somewhere, but no. So, I bought a kind of a battery holder, and there's probably a million of them from probably the same Chinese company, because it's all Chinese companies. But it's like a lanyard, which is really big. Could probably do it cross-body strap or whatever with it, because it's really long. But this is the simplest thing. It's like a pressed plastic case. You snap the battery in it, and then you can either, like, there's a clip on the back. I don't know if you can see that. You could clip it to, I don't know, something, your bag, your belt, whatever. Or you can attach this lanyard and then just, like, hang it around your head and do it this way. So, works quite well. It's not expensive. I don't remember what it was, like $10 or something. Don't know what it says on Amazon. It didn't even check because it was so cheap. Yeah, it's $17.99 right now for this, which is probably overpriced, but I don't care. There's a $3 coupon you can get, so it's whatever, $15. So yeah, works really well. Can use it. So easy thing. There is no other options right now. There's a couple of Chinese companies. Nobody else has done that. I checked Amazon. Like the typical companies like Spigen or whatever, they have not gone into this market. They will, and I will probably buy another one, like a nicer one. It's not the best plastic, to be honest. Kind of. Yeah, but it does get the job done. And for me, it's like, I think when you're sitting somewhere on your sofa or whatever, it's not a problem. You can just put it next to you. But I'm going to get up and walk around with the Vision Pro, and then like this thing is dangling next to me and whatever, like it's dangerous. So this way, like nothing can happen because I can just carry it around. Or if you're traveling, I mean, that might be the other area where like it's probably safer to have it somewhere attached to you. So no, if there's on a flight, there's turbulence or whatever, it's not flying around. So highly recommended. That's my cool thing.
Very nice.
And I think that's it for the show today. I know you have a hard out, Chuck, so let's wrap up. Thank you for like joining our summer of fun, and I'm gonna start reverse order and have Ben tell the good people where they can find out more about your secret lair and your cats and so on.
Well, you can if I actually take away the coupon code here for my name. How about that?
That's a good idea.
But you can find me on the cornucopia of social media at Ben Rathig. You can find my writings and ravings at RathigTech.com on Tuesdays. I am somehow frequently invited back by this dude named Chuck Joyner on Mac Voices Live. On Thursdays, I am a regular contributor with this little show called In Touch with iOS, with some dude who's playing hooky named Dave Ginsburg. Work reasons. Ugh. And every Thursday and Friday, you can find me here at the Big and Mac Show, which conspicuously, this announcement comes during lunchtime in the eastern half of the U.S., here on the British Tech Network.
Yes.
Was that a British accent, Ben?
It's trying to be.
Yes.
It sounds more like
some other. Yes, like most of the other hosts, I cannot speak with a British accent.
That's what, I don't know what that was.
Nobody knows what that was.
Nobody knows. It's Ben. No, that's what it was. It's Ben. So, Chuck, thank you for joining us and showing us your awesome shirt collection. I have to mention that again. Thank you for being here, doing this with us, talking about all the Macs, and tell the good people where they can find out more about you.
MacVoices.com. That's all you need to know. We are finished with the road to Mac Stock, obviously, since Mac Stock is over. So now we're plowing ahead with more Mac Voices Live. I have a number of things coming up that I have on the agenda, just have to get them all scheduled and done. And that's again, MacVoices.com. Ben referenced Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks for doing the interim hosting. if we get to three, I don't know, one of us may be here alone.
Yeah, that is true. Ben might do it alone. Yeah, you can find out more about me on my website, thepatrice.com. I'm here on this show almost every week, Thursdays and Fridays, except for the 1 week a month that I'm traveling for work, because that usually interferes with flights and so on. I mean, unless they get canceled, like what happened today with Microsoft and flights getting canceled all over the place. But I was lucky, I didn't have to travel. You can find, like, I have a really cool podcast with the interim host, with Jeff Gamet, called Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch retro shows, and we're rewatching a retro sci-fi show from the 90s, since we're talking about that, called Stargate SG-1. Might have heard of it, but Jeff didn't. He never watched it. I have, like, it's one of my favorite shows, so I've watched it a million times, what it feels like, so we're publishing step by step, or episode by episode. We're rewatching an episode, talking about it. As long as we feel like it, we might switch to other shows, come back, whatever. Like, anything goes. There's no, it's not, oh, we're rewatching this one show. Like, we might do whatever we want. But for now, we're sticking with SG-1. We published an episode called Emancipation, which was really crap. Not our episode, but the SG-1 episode was crap. And yeah, we had thoughts about that. And I think we rewrote half of it as well. Like, that's the thing we're doing. Jeff came up with it. It's basically like, he's like, oh, here, listen. Like, this is how I would have written this show, which is, I mean, easier said than done, because they usually, yeah, they don't have the time or the money to do, like, a lot of rewrites. Hindsight is always 2020 anyway, so, but it's a fun thing to do for us. Like, we're just saying, hey, like, this is how this would have been better. So yeah, there's a new one coming out very soon, and yeah, you can look forward to that. RetroRewatch.com is our show. And I think that's it. We did another episode of Summer of Fun. It will continue until, well, probably September event for Apple.
Yeah.
Traditionally, or first or second week of September. So we'll see.
Yeah. Or unless Mike Hurley sends us a cease and desist letter.
I think it's too late for that. We've been doing it for a couple of years now. Yeah. So Summer of Fun is going to continue. If you have suggestions for interesting things we could do, I mean, there's no, as you saw, there's no format. We can do whatever we want. We can talk about whatever we want. So anything goes. If you have a cool idea, send us a message, and we'll add it to the list. And yeah, thank you, Ewan, for still letting us do that. I still don't know how, but we're doing it. And,
or why?
Or why? That's true. And yeah, talk to you soon. Bye bye.